Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, August 25th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe says Harare has adopted a 10-point plan to make Zimbabwe an attractive destination for foreign investment, among other issues, including boosting the economy and creating jobs.
My government has proposed a 10-point plan of 1. Revitalizing agriculture and the agro-processing value chain.
Disgruntled, dismissed National Railways of Zimbabwe workers approach the High Court to force the company to pay them their outstanding salaries and retrenchment packages.
We decided to approach the court because that's our only route that we can take. The court said a rule that the current employees to pay can the employees be paid what they are due.
Economists warn Zimbabwe should brace for the worst as its major trading partner, South Africa's rand, continues to slide against major currencies.
Not just the rand, obviously the weakness of commodity prices and the weakness of the fall in the rand and the strong US dollar are all the bad news for Zimbabwe.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe today delivered his State of the Nation address, revealing his government has adopted a 10-point plan aimed at making Zimbabwe an attractive destination for foreign investment, among other issues, including boosting the economy and creating jobs. But the main MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai was quick to dismiss the address, saying it fell far short of expectation and did not address challenges facing the nation. Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Anti-corruption trust.
Amid jeers from opposition MDC lawmakers, Mr. Mugabe said the plan will focus on revitalizing the agricultural sector, fighting corruption, and modernizing the country's archaic labor laws.
Advancing beneficiation and or value addition to our agricultural and mining resource endowment. 3. Focusing on infrastructural development, particularly in the key energy, water, transport, and ICT subsectors.
He said, following the closure of large corporations and massive job losses, the government will support the small and medium-scale enterprises sector as it is now the source of livelihood for many people in the country.
Government will need to address SMEs operating infrastructure such as construction of vendor marts and factory shells and the provision of human power training.
He admitted the economic situation in the country was bad, adding his government will soon overhaul its policies, blamed for blocking foreign direct investment. Foreign investors and business have long told the government to repeal or amend laws such as the indigenization laws they said made Zimbabwe an unattractive foreign investment destination. Zimbabwe is one of the worst foreign investment destinations in the world owing to indigenization laws, the high cost of setting up a business, and an unpredictable political environment. Today, Mr. Mugabe said his government is working on that.
We should see before the 31st of December this year an urgent overhaul of the Companies Act and all pieces of allied legislation which have hitherto hindered the ease of doing business.
He said re-engagement efforts with the international community will be pursued as the government seeks massive financial support for infrastructural development, Under its economic blueprint, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Sustainable Social and Economic Transformation, Parastate House, Mr. Mugabe said, would be reformed so they can be run professionally while adhering to good corporate governance. Political analyst Takura Jangaja told Studio 7 that Mr. Mugabe's address was hollow and did not provide any solutions to the country's problems.
No, I think it was more about political correctness and routine than it was a presentation of a new plan or a new idea. Even though the president talked about a 10-point plan concerning the national economy, it does not reflect in total the sensitivity a leader should have towards the current economic crisis in the country. It did not come across and come clearly that the president has got his finger on the pulse.
The Tsvangirai MDC said in a statement Mr. Mugabe's address, given in the middle of a debilitating crisis that has brought the country to its knees, failed dismally and did not address what it said were monumental challenges facing the nation. The MDC said President Mugabe, from his speech, seems to be out of touch with the reality affecting the ordinary men and women on the street. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thanks, Ivan. Commenting, the MDC renewal team spokesman Jacob Mafume said Mr. Mugabe failed to address fundamental problems bedeviling the country.
The State of the Nation address was empty. It was a tired speech from a tired president. And what is alarming, it highlighted the cluelessness in the first of all, knowing the state of the nation. The state of the nation is not what was described by the president. People have no money, they are losing jobs, they are losing incomes, there is no food. The economy is stagnating. Yet he described our growth and the economy as modest or showing signs of growth.
So what do you think is the way forward?
The way forward is that we expected the president to declare a state of emergency as far as the economy was concerned. We expected him to come up with an implementation plan and to recreate a new team or to appoint a national transition authority that will deal with the economy. The economy is in dire straits and we cannot continue to 2018 in the situation we are in. We needed to know where the new revenue streams are coming from, what radical legislation Parliament is going to put in place to deal with the economic malaise. We expected a more robust engagement with the world financial system.
That was MDC renewal team spokesman Jacob Mafume on the line with Studio 7 from Harare. Economist Masimba Kuchera told Tatenda Gumbo Mr. Mugabe's address lacked real solutions needed to stabilize the economy.
He's one person who sticks to his guns even if they are firing blanks, to the extent that he doesn't want to look at a different path or a different way of doing things. Unfortunately for him, it means that the country will plummet further and further into the ground. Actually, some say he is also now the problem, because the problem is, for instance, where investment is concerned, realigning of the indigenization laws, but he doesn't want to do that. In removing dead wood and disciplining those who are corrupt, openly corrupt, but because they are part of his ruling party, he also doesn't want to do that.
And Mr. Kuchera, as someone who represents the demographic of young people in Zimbabwe, what were you expecting?
I think our expectation is that most young people expect to have stability in their lives, in terms of employment, in terms of housing, in terms of education. And those things were not sufficiently addressed. Whether they are employed, they are being given 3 months' notice. When they are selling on the streets, they are being chased away.
That was economist Masimba Kuchera speaking with Studio 7 reporter Tatenda Gumbo on the line from Harare. As job losses continue to mount in the country, disgruntled, dismissed National Railways of Zimbabwe workers have approached the High Court for assistance to compel the company to pay them their outstanding salaries and retrenchment packages. Kamurai Moyo, who is the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railways Workers Union president, says some of the fired workers had worked for the company for more than 40 years and some had not been paid for more than 10 months before they were fired. The National Railways of Zimbabwe fired more than 500 workers after the July 17 Supreme Court ruling allowing employers to fire workers on 3 months' notice. Moyo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri the company should reinstate the fired workers if it cannot compensate them.
We have decided to approach the court because that's our only route that we can take. The court had a rule in terms of employees to say it can be employees be paid what they are due. Because in some of these employees have served the organization for 41 years, some have served for 37 years. And if you're going to just wake up and say these employees are no longer in employment, they should just go without their paying our benefits. We are saying the court has to make a decision whether to reinstate those employees or let them be given their packages. That will enable them to start other initiatives in life.
When is the case expected to be heard in the courts?
As it is now, we haven't received any confirmation from our lawyers. Our lawyers, the one Majoko and Majoko, are entering the case. They haven't come to us. But initially, it was scheduled for Friday. Unfortunately, the real lawyer was not around town. He was coming from Harare. And it was scheduled for Monday. But because of other commitments, nothing took place on Monday. So we're just awaiting the confirmation of the new case.
That was Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railways Workers Union President Kamurai Moyo on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. The Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission has released a report slamming ZANU-PF for the manner in which it conducted itself during the Hurungwe West by-election, pitting its candidate Keith Guza and independent candidate Themba Mliswa. Guza won the election, but Mliswa is challenging the outcome in the High Court. The report has also been delivered to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission chairperson Rita Makarau, who was unavailable for comment. Guza is on record telling Studio 7 he does not want to be bothered about the election. Mliswa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the report vindicates him.
It's an excellent report. It certainly vindicates exactly what we were talking about prior to the elections, the violence and the environment which is not free, fair, as is supposed to be with any election. So it is just excellent because the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission is a constitutionally constituted body in the constitution of the country. So whatever they say has weight because that's a constitutional mandate that they have. And for them to carry out investigations and findings the way they did, it's excellent. It actually helps the country in moving forward to achieve that democracy that we need.
Do you plan to use this report as an exhibit in your court case?
Yes, because I wrote to Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission complaining about what was happening. I equally wrote to ZEC. The great thing about it, they've even forwarded the recommendations that they had for ZEC before the election, that they had to make sure that the playing field was free and fair so that the elections would be credible.
That was independent candidate Themba Mliswa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu on the line from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, the business community warns Zimbabweans to brace for the worst as economy continues on the downward slide. But first, a look at regional and international news. US and European stocks surged today, rebounding from the huge sell-off in recent days, even as China led another slump in Asian markets. South Sudanese President Salva Kiir has agreed to sign a peace deal aimed at ending his country's 20-month-old civil war. In a letter obtained by VOA South Sudan in Focus program, the East African bloc IGAD says the agreement will be signed Wednesday in Juba, South Sudan's capital. And a Nigerian police say a female suicide bomber has killed at least 5 people in an attack at the entrance to a bus station in the northeastern town of Damaturu. At least 28 other people were wounded in the early Tuesday morning blast. The business community is warning that Zimbabweans must brace for tough times ahead as the South African rand continues to slide against major currencies, plunging to an all-time low yesterday, breaching the 14 to the dollar mark on the back of a global drop in commodity prices. Pretoria is Harare's number one trading partner. Last year, exports to Zimbabwe stood at 24.8 billion rands, while Zimbabwe sold about 2 billion rands worth of goods to South Africa. Chief Economist of Resource Exploitation Watch, Washington Mehlo Makulu, says a weaker rand is bad for Zimbabwe's fragile economy. University of Zimbabwe economist Professor Tony Hawkins agrees, telling Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the troubles in South Africa will be felt in Harare.
Not just the rand, obviously the weakness of commodity prices and the weakness of the fall in the rand and the strong US dollar are all the bad news for Zimbabwe from a competitiveness viewpoint. Industry is struggling enough as it is to compete with cheap imports and from South Africa and elsewhere, and this is just making it worse. And at the same time, exports are suffering because of the weak commodity prices.
What then is the way forward for Zimbabwe's business? Does Zimbabwe have any control?
Not really. I mean, you know, the classic solution in this, as you've been seeing in the emerging markets, including now China, is to devalue your currency. But Zimbabwe can't devalue, and it's left with a strengthening currency, the US dollar, at a time when its main trading partner is devaluing very substantially indeed, South Africa.
And lastly, China is also looking at devaluing. And Zimbabwe at one time was saying that it is also adopting the Chinese yuan. Is it in circulation that much in Zimbabwe to have an impact?
Not really. And, you know, it's the key exchange rate is the dollar. You know, about 80% of all transactions are in dollars, and most other transactions are in rand. You get some in Botswana currency, pulas in Matabeleland pots, but not much. So it's pretty much a two-currency thing. I mean, these other currencies are theoretically part of this of the single currency, but they're not really. Very few people use pounds or euros or one or anything else.
That was economist Professor Tony Hawkins of the University of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions on President Robert Mugabe's State of the Nation address. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. And in sports news, Highlanders Football Club has dismissed the reports that soccer coach Bongani Mafu has been fired as fans continue mourning the passing of Zimbabwean soccer legend Willard Mashingila Khumalo. Boso Chief Executive Ndumiso Gumede tells Studio 7 reports circulating in state-controlled newspapers and social media that Mafu, whose team fell to lowly-rated Wawa FC at the weekend after another loss a week earlier was sent, was sent home today are misleading. Gumede tells Studio 7 Skips Dube the club's executive committee, which met Monday, did not even discuss this issue.
With all due respect, if Mavu were to be fired, I'm sure my executive would ask me to write him the letter. I have not been asked. I have not written the letter. So it is not true that Mavu has been fired. But let me enlighten your listeners. Highlanders Football Club holds a review and planning meeting every Monday without fail. And yesterday was no exception. We had that meeting where we reviewed the game against Platinum and the game against Wawa, and we started planning for the game against Chicken Inn this weekend. When we finished that meeting at about 8 p.m., there were members of the 40th state waiting at the gate saying they want news about Mavu's firing, which matter was never even discussed.
So now we can actually say he's still with the club.
As far as I know, he's still with the club, unless my executive has usurped my role as the chief communicator and they've dealt with him directly, sidestepping me.
That was Highlanders chief executive Ndumiso Gumede speaking to Studio 7. Gumede also tells Studio 7 his team is expected to attend a funeral service of the late Kumalo, who died of diabetes at the age of 49 and will be laid to rest on Thursday at Lady Stanley Cemetery in Bulawayo.
Highlanders Football Club has lost a gallant son in Willard Mashingila Kumalo. He grew up literally under our nose. His last engagement with us was that of manager. He was our manager until the end of last season.
We're told that the Islanders Football Club is preparing to attend a funeral service of the late Willard Kumalo. Tell us a bit about this.
He was part of us, and therefore we have an obligation to see him take up his resting place, which is tentatively set for Thursday, the 27th, and Highlanders will be in full force to give him a befitting send-off. We understand the ceremonies will be held at McDonald Hall, and from there, the hearse will make a trip via Baba Fields before taking him to his resting place at Lady Stanley Cemetery.
That was Ndumiso Gumede, Highlanders Football Club's chief executive, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo. The late Kumalo was popularly known as Mawi on Nduna during his heydays at Highlanders FC and the national team, the Warriors.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The president of Guinea-Bissau, José Mário Vaz, has fired the prime minister and dismissed the government following escalating disagreements with Prime Minister Domingo Chimos Pereira. The rift threatens the stability seen there since the free and fair elections of 2014. The United States is carefully watching the political situation in Guinea-Bissau. We call on leaders to seek dialogue and consensus in resolving this crisis in a manner that serves the best interests of the Bissau-Guinean people. We commend the calm reaction of all parties and call on security forces, civil society, and political leaders to continue to act peacefully and in accordance with the Constitution and the rule of law. Managing political disagreement is a natural part of democratic rule, and we encourage continued constructive dialogue between leaders. At the March 2015 Brussels International Conference for Guinea-Bissau, the President and Prime Minister presented a vision of political and economic development for the country that garnered the support of the international community. The best hope for further progress on this agenda is for leaders to quickly come together and recommit themselves to the stated objectives. The United States looks to Bissau-Guinean leaders to show the world they can work together with the international community to move forward with political and economic development.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in news we just receiving, a safari guide has been killed by a collared lion in the Wange National Park. The professional guide died on the spot after being mauled by the lion called Ngaha yesterday while leading six foreign clients in the Wange National Park, authorities confirmed. National Park spokesperson Caroline Washaya Moyo confirmed the death of Queen Swales, who was 40 years old and worked for Camp Wange, where the incident took place, and that is owned by Dave Carson, a well-known professional guide. National Police spokesman, a senior assistant commissioner Charity Charamba, also confirmed Swell's death. The attack follows the killing of the lion Cecil, also followed by Oxford University, who was shot by American dentist Walter Palmer last month. Camp Wange had posted on their website expressing sorrow on the death of Swales. United States artists Toni Braxton and Kenny Babyface Edmonds arrived in Harare last night for a long-awaited show billed for Friday night at the Borodale Racecourse. Show promoter Benny Bismarck of BD Music says preparations for the show are at an advanced stage. Tickets are ranging from $40 to $150 for the VIP section. Award-winning Braxton is traveling with her sisters, Trina and Towanda. Bismarck says she's positive the show will be sold out even as the majority of Zimbabweans struggle with the realities of day-to-day living.
Toni Braxton arrived last night. She touched down in Zimbabwe. Very exciting. A wonderful lady. Very cordial, very friendly, accommodating. And she came with her sisters. And most of her team are here. Mr. Kenny Edmonds will... on Thursday.
What made you decide to invite Toni Braxton and Babyface to Zimbabwe?
I was invited by a company in South Africa called Canok, who have done a lot of big concerts in South Africa. They brought people like Kenny G and Chris Brown. So they had been wanting to spread their technical into Africa. And so because I did a couple of other promotions like Kirk Franklin and Johnny McClurkin and shows like that, they kind of contacted me and we started a relationship about a year ago. Then they asked me, would you be interested in doing Toni Braxton and Babyface? And I said, yeah, I would be. And I felt like it was timely for the country because we want the world to know Zimbabwe is a great place.
What has been the response so far, looking at the state of the economy and a lot of people losing their jobs? What's the response been like?
I think the response is fantastic. I think Zimbabweans rise to the occasion because we are patriotic about our country. We love our country and we know we want the world to speak good of us. We want Toni Braxton and Babyface to know that they are great artists and Zimbabwe can host international artists. We have the capacity. We have the patriotism. I think our people will rise to the occasion. The excitement in the city is really fantastic. People are really wanting to do the show.
How much are the tickets to enter into the show?
Show is at the Borodale Racecourse on Friday the 28th of August. Tickets start from $40, but I think they're selling really quickly. We have that's for the general tickets, so that's the cheapest ticket. The VIP ticket is $100, and those are going quite quickly as well. And the VVIP, there's still some available, but that is $150. That's tables and chairs, waiter service. The tickets are at selected pick and pay stores in Harare. They are also at selected TM stores in Harare and at the Zimbabwe online stores in Harare.
That was music promoter Benny Bismarck speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye from Harare.
Action.
Breathe Again. That's the music of Tony Braxton, bringing our show to an end. But before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories. President Mugabe says Harare has adopted a 10-point plan to make Zimbabwe an attractive destination. Disgruntled NRZ workers approach the High Court. That's all we have for you tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.